Fargo, North Dakota. Make some noise for Josh Johnson!
I've had doctors that really just felt like they were piecing it together as we went. Do you know what I mean? Like, truly. Like, one time, I don't even know what it was. I had something on my leg that was, like, concerning me, right? And so I went to the doctor, and I'm telling him about it. I'm sitting in his office, going over it, going, like, when it happened, everything, how worried I am, because I've never seen anything like this before, and how I've just been, like, feeling, like, tired all the time, so I'm wondering if it has something to do with this. And he's like, yeah, yeah. I was like, do you want to take a look at it? He's like, yeah, yeah, we'll get to it, we'll get to it. And then he stands up, grabs, like, all the stuff, stethoscope, stuff that he, I guess, need. I guess he gonna listen to it. I don't know what the plan is. But then he's like, go ahead and stand up, and you can drop your pants. And like, I'm like, why are you seem nervous? Like, it was just, do you know what I mean? Like, it's not like we're buds. Like, I have to do this now. And we've talked about it thoroughly. Like, you know where the thing is, like upper thigh, right? And so then I like open my belt buckle, I unzip, I start dropping my pants, and maybe I did too fast for him, because he was like, oh, pause, pause. I was like, pause? Not a doctor. Say, pause. Oh. Because it's tough and it's scary, because we only know a medieval amount about how to keep ourselves alive. We think we're smarter because we have more access to information, but even with that access, some people don't want the information. There are people that are straight up, like I used to think from the bottom of my heart, oh, if people just knew, if you knew better, you'd do better. I used to like live by that mantra. And now I'm realizing, no, some people don't want to know. Some people would like to do exactly what they do now. Because to me, I go to a doctor because I'm like, you're a professional. The hope is that you know what's going to be going on, so I don't need to learn about what's going on while it's happening to me, because that's how you die slowly. You know what I mean? I don't want to be sitting on my deathbed like, I figured it out. And so you go to a doctor, because doctors supposed to know. But now there are people who will admit that they don't know, but they'll also be like, nah, he doesn't know either. And it's like, look, I'm not saying doctors know everything, but we, as the general public, we have like a certain amount of knowledge that helps keep us alive. And the rest is other people that we've never met being like, don't eat the lettuce this week. There's E. coli everywhere. And without them, I wouldn't know that. I'd be hitting the lettuce hard. I'd be like, look at how healthy I am. I'm mid-salad right now. You do your best. Everyone is doing their best. Don't think that I think people aren't doing their absolute best. Even when they don't do what I agree with, even when they don't do things that I think are like common sense, people are doing their best, you know? It's just sometimes someone's best shouldn't be here. Do you know what I mean? You could have all the good intentions in the world, but if your best is like subpar, should probably get you out of there. Let you be a cheerleader. Because I've been through all manner of like medical things. Luckily, nothing so serious that it was like fundamentally life-threatening for long. I'm very thankful that I don't deal with like chronic pain or conditions that I know people in my life do that make them have to adjust plans, cancel plans, make them have to adjust their life, make them have to be thinking about this thing all the time. I luckily don't have to think about my body all the time. You know? But I know a lot of people that do. I know a lot of people that depend on those experts for things that if we were going off of my knowledge, most of this room would be dead. I don't claim to be an expert, but I feel like there's this weird place we've gotten to where it used to be knowing something was like a big deal. Oh, ask them, they know, right? And now questioning something is as big of a deal as knowing something. And I'm not saying questions are bad. I just think that at a certain point, we need to distinguish the people who only ever ask questions from the people who actually know things. Do you know what I mean? You should ask questions. I don't want anyone to blindly follow anyone. I'm just saying that when people say do your own research, some of them haven't researched. Research is boring. If you weren't bored during your research, if you just strung a marathon of documentaries on YouTube together, I bet you that wasn't research, though. I'm not even saying everything you learned was wrong. I'm just saying, like, research usually takes time, takes years of your life, takes dedicated study and attention. Real research, knowing something, you have to give something to know something. It takes nothing to just pick things apart until you confuse everyone. Do you know what I mean? And so I said all that because I've made mistakes in my life. I didn't know the difference between the emergency room and urgent care. I wish that they give one of them a less immediate name. I didn't know they weren't interchangeable, all right? It's the emergency room and then it's urgent care. Well, I urgently need help for my emergency, so what should I do? Where does that leave us now? I'm at a fork in the road and whichever I pick sounds like they'll help me quickly. Turns out emergency rooms are for like life-threatening, immediate care. Urgent care is for when you got like a headache. Urgent care, look, and this is not to disparage anyone that works in any place. It's just that urgent care stories, I know people who work in urgent care, and I know people who work in emergency rooms, and the emergency room stories, I should have known to go to the emergency room if it was more serious, because the emergency stories are so much more horrific in nature than the urgent care stories. Like, the urgent care stories are like, yeah, this dude came in and he was filling out his paperwork, but his nose is bleeding the whole time. Kind of got all over the paper. And then he handed it back to me and I was like, ugh. Emergency room stories are like, there was a dude today that, and also anyone who's ever worked in an emergency room and then told me an emergency room story has a 1,000-yard stare. They're not talking to me. They might be talking to God. They might be asking God, why would you let me see something like that? I got into this business to help people. I really want to help and heal, and you show me the devil. I don't want to see that ever again. Because what they will tell me with that wide stare is like, yeah, this guy came in today, and his leg was... And it's like, I don't know what that is. That blinking? Sometimes they will just blink in silence. I'm like, is it in the room right now? Guy came in today and his leg was in his chest. You sure this wasn't a dream? No. like I went to urgent care one time and genuinely was sicker than when I walked in. When I left, I walked to the urgent care and I had an appointment, and which is odd because I thought you were supposed to just run up in there, but get to urgent care. I have my appointment, and the person at the front, look, God bless them, truly. I know they were just doing their best, but they could not stop sneezing and coughing openly. And so I was like, oh, like I'm backing away from this. I'm like, yeah, so do you want me to just go right over there? Do you want me to just walk around you and go back there? He's like, oh, the doctor's not ready yet. I was like, oh, you can go first, dog. Like, if you're already here and you here all day and like, I don't know, you're probably killing everybody. So if you want to go, that's supposed to be the benefit of working here, right? That you are already here in case you need to be here. And he was like, oh, don't worry. It's not COVID. And I was like, that wasn't my concern at all. I wasn't wondering if it was COVID. I was wondering why it was happening right now. To you. Like, I want you to be well. That would be better for everybody in here, because we all came sick, and if we all mix our sick together right now, I'm pretty sure we'll get a new thing, and I don't want that to happen. No, and then my man sent me back into so the doctor could cough in my mouth. Everybody had it, whatever it was. Everybody had it. But now, when you go to the emergency room, let's say that's closer than urgent care, and you're like, hey, you know what, I'll just go right now. And then you get in there, and even if you have a terrible migraine, when you look around an emergency room, it does make you self-conscious about your sickness. The same way where you like go to the gym for the first time in 8 years and you looking around at all the people who are like already swole, when you get to an emergency room and you're not that sick and then you just see people holding bullet wounds closed, you're like, you can go before me if you want. Like, I'm. And so, it's all important stuff. It's hard for us to stay healthy because it's already hard for us to live. You have to do everything that it takes to like have a life, keep people alive if you've made people, and be healthy. And I don't know, maybe it's just the way that we work as a country, but we're so back and forth and 100% all the time. All gas, no brakes, all the time, always behind, fighting, trying to get back in black, fighting that red line, fighting that poverty line, to the point where there are people who genuinely believe they don't have time. Oh, you could do this. This is the healthier thing to do. Oh, make some time for this. I don't have time, right? By the time I get home, I'm exhausted. I just want sleep. Can I at least have sleep? And so it's tough, you know, even when it comes to eating, even when it comes to like what we know to eat to be healthy. It changes. And sometimes it changes because we find out something. And then sometimes it changes because a company is like, actually, there's a lot of money in kale. You remember kale? You remember that thing that we used to put at the bottom of every salad bar? You know, it used to be the floor of the salad bar. You would go to a Pizza Hut and there would be kale. Wrapped around the pizza. Not on the pizza, under the pizza. Just use kale as like foliage. Then one day somebody was like, hey, we growing all this kale. You ever taste some? You ever bite down to that kale? It's probably good for you. And then takes off, becomes a whole craze. I'm always blown away with food crazes of food that we've been eating. We've all been alive for a while now, but every year there will be some superfood that's a food we were already aware of. Remember when avocados had their day? Remember when avocado was like, have you, your skin. And there's vitamins that, it's so good for you, your skin. Do you want more skin? Your skin. It's so good for your, see all extra skin under your skin. You'll be so healthy. You remember coconut oil. There was a year where coconut oil could do no wrong. They were like, no, put it on your skin. Lather yourself up at night. You'll just be so moisturized. Put it on your skin. Put it in your hair. It'll get all the dirty stuff out of your hair. It'll clear out your pores in the hair and everything. Get the hair follicle all nice and juicy and stuff. Eat it. Cook with it. It's so good. It'll be good for, it'll fix your skin from the inside. It'll be delicious and it'll fill it. Ooh, it'll be like all of your organs have new skin. And then somebody else came out with a study that was like, oh, actually don't do any of that. Like it's actually gonna fully clog your pores. It's gonna clog the pores of your hair. And if you eat it, it's gonna like, I don't know, be like a little too loose in your heart while your heart's trying to pump blood. I don't know what they said, but it just, they turned on it in a day. And you would think that all this stuff is happening because we're finding out all these things. But what's really happening is all of these narratives are competing at the same time. There are people who have a vested interest in you eating as much meat as possible. And then there are people who have a vested interest in you eating no meat at all. And I don't even mean on a political front. I'm not even talking about environmentalists versus like vegans versus people who have money in Big Cow. I'm talking about genuinely there are people who believe, for whatever reasons they've come to, that they've concluded, that they believe this thing is good for you, this thing is bad for you, and then they put it out into the world. And because we have the internet, you could look up anything, and anything is as good for you as it is bad for you. And that is scary when you know what a medieval amount to keep yourself alive. I'm not claiming to be smarter than anybody, and I try to listen to experts, and I try to do my quote-unquote own research. It's a lot of reading. It's pretty boring. That's why I feel like I'm doing the right thing. You know, but it's still tough to know. I'm not coming down on people for not knowing. I think it's mostly that if someone went to all the trouble to know, maybe that should mean something. You know? I say this because RFK Jr. is the head of health and human services. And if you're not familiar with RFK Jr., he has a very specific sound, very specific way of speaking and thinking. And he's on a real like health kick as a whole personality, all right? And it's unfortunate that so much of that is what feels like riddled with internet. I've never seen someone so interested in health and the science of health without just getting into the science of health. Do you know what I mean? It would be like me knowing every stat that there is to know about basketball. But then when someone rolled me a ball or even tossed me a ball, maybe I'm playing my first pickup game of basketball with all of this knowledge I supposedly have of the game. I know plays, I know players, I know stats, I know strategies. And then someone actually passes me the ball and I go... there are things that RFK Jr. has said and done. They don't just worry me. You know what I mean? They don't just like worry me. They actively go against, like, it's one thing if you have one theory. I let everybody be subversive about like one thing to me. Cause I'm like, all right, you might be right about this thing. Who knows? Let's investigate, right? When you have 90, nah, dog, this is bad. I don't even like repeating some of the things that he said because it makes it, if I repeat it, I sound like I think it because it takes me so long to explain what he thought that I sound like I think it too, and I would rather not. You know, during his confirmation hearing, he said a lot of things that didn't quite fall in line with what he had been saying before he was trying to get confirmed, you know? So he said a lot of the right things to go ahead and get confirmed. And look, he was probably going to get confirmed no matter what. You know, there was a majority that was going to push him through, most likely, no matter what he said. And then he gets in. And this is the most troubling thing to me about, like, RFK Jr., is that there are moments where he'll say something that is, like, not only like not crazy, it's like the thing that everyone was hoping somebody would say. And then he'll quickly follow it up with a thing that no one has ever said. And you're like, oh, you had us for like a half second. You know, like, because RFK Jr. has talked about, like trying to remove all the dyes out of the foods, like out of the candies and out of the like crackers, all the stuff like that, out of the chips. It's like, that's actually a good thing. That would be good. Everyone else already removed it. Like, these companies may be international, but when you go to Europe, it's a different chip. That's not, they don't, and that's specifically because Europe was like, we don't do that to our people. So you should, if you want to be here, you can change it, but you have to change it. You can't just be whatever you want to be, right? And so when RFK Jr. says, like, I'm trying to get all these additives out of the food, all these dyes, all these things, it's like, wow, that's great. That I like that. And then he's like, and we need a registry for autism. And you're like, oh! What are you doing? It's so deeply frustrating. You know? Because it's like that, the whole thing, the whole thing that is that is frustrating about it is that it is someone who, even in the face of experts, would rather not challenge those experts and prove them wrong to their face, just more talk to people who honestly and earnestly are trying to find out and don't know and lead them. You don't see him engaging in like real debate with a doctor who's made the thing their life, who's done the true research and who's done it over time. I'm not saying science and doctors can never be wrong. I'm saying those are the people you should be having these spats with instead of going on podcasts and convincing people who also didn't do the thing. They didn't make that their life's work, and then leading them down a path where we're not really sure how bad it could get. And this is in the midst of Doge and other things, cutting jobs for like the National Health Institutes, you know, cutting jobs at the FDA, cutting jobs in all these places where we need these things. In fact, there have been rollbacks on things that help us prevent things in the future, on research for the future of what might be going on somewhere else, is what scientists are thinking about all the time, when this thing might happen, right? And if you roll back on that, you won't see the effect right away. You may not even see it for a long time, but then when we are behind, because we used to be the leader, And we're quickly losing our first place position in being who the world looks to figure out new illnesses, to figure out, even with old ones, we can still figure out vaccines. We can still figure out all of these different aspects of how to keep people healthy and alive. And when you roll them back in ways that seem like they don't matter, or at least you don't want to give attention to, the effects won't, we won't know the widespread effect of it. You know, and I'm worried because RFK Jr. got in under this whole, like, make America healthy again attitude. It was sort of a mantra, right? And I understand that he's like a, whatever, 70-year-old guy that bench presses. But I would like to, if I can, be healthier than RFK Jr. because he doesn't seem healthy. I haven't seen his blood work. I'm not saying I don't know, but it just, he doesn't seem healthy because he does a lot of stuff that doesn't seem to lead to health. Long before he was ever confirmed for the head of Health and Human Services, there was a picture of RFK Jr., one of many, but there was a particular picture of RFK Jr. walking out of an airplane bathroom, barefoot. And when I saw it, I rebuked the picture. I was like, that will not be in my life. No, thank you. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a scientist. But please wear some form of footwear into the airplane bathroom. You had shoes when you got on the plane. What happened? What happened between the seat and the bathroom that you were like, I gotta get these off? Too restrained. This man went swimming in a DC creek that's been known for, like, I'm pretty sure decades, that place is nasty. It's so nasty that the place is nasty. It's so nasty that they have a sign saying, we nasty. Don't swim here, it's nasty. And sure, it's like this flowing creek and everything, but it's been known for a long time that sewage leaks into that creek. And he hopped in. Hopped in with the same feet that he walked out of that airplane bathroom with. Hopped in feet first. Probably didn't even dip his toe in. Was like, yeah. Swimming in the creek with his grandchildren, I'm pretty sure. And his dog. You're the head of Health and Human Services. Do us the service of being a healthy human. Like, this is so crazy that you're in. We're watching you. It would be like watching the Secretary of Defense play Russian roulette. It's like, so you're not going to be here long then? Why would you do that? Don't do that. We want you to be alive. It's so frustrating. Man has a congressional hearing. Congressional hearing where they're asking him about his belief. They're asking him about things that he said since he's been confirmed and stuff. And this man basically says, don't take medical advice from me. There's a part of me that almost respects that. There's a part of me that almost respects that. Let me tell you why. Because I have been, an hourly worker several times in my life. I've had lots of odd jobs that pay by the hour. I've had lots of, like, I won't call them corporate, but just established corporation jobs that pay, you know, by the hour. And the problem with hourly work, whether you're talking about me or anyone I've ever interacted with, especially from a customer service perspective, the problem with hourly work is I'm not sure if we're meeting at the hour you care about this job. I may have caught you at a bad time at work. There's four types of hourly workers. There are the hourly workers who are like, they start off great, especially when we're talking customer service. You start off great. I was here. You start off great. You clock in. You got a good attitude. You're ready to go. Nothing's happened yet. And then a few hours into dealing with the public, you have been beat down to a place of which you're not sure you can recover. And you're thinking about how this is Monday. So my life, you know. Then there's an hourly worker that really starts to perk up the last 2 hours of shift. They're almost home. They're almost out of here. They're smiling at you because they almost don't have to see you. We're almost through with each other. I'm so close. Let's bring it home strong. Then there's the hourly worker that genuinely loves their job. Then there's the hourly worker who hates their job so much that from clock in to clock out, they are here to make sure that you hate their job too. Right? And at different points in my life, I've been a couple of these different workers. You know, sometimes I had a job where I could clock in and then I was like, I was good attitude, good everything. And then people just, whether they're impatient or they're rude or they're nasty, they just beat you down and you try to not let the last interaction affect the next interaction. But after a while, you just get to the point where you just got that face. That face, that almost like a 1,000-yard stare. And you're trying to do your job, but you just want to be like, and his leg was in his chest. Like, and I've also been that person that's had that job that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to quit this job. I can't wait to get out of here. And you know what? The close thing to quitting this job is clocking out of this job. I love clocking out so much. Sometimes I do it twice. I love clocking out. It's my favorite thing. Sometimes I actually worked a couple different jobs where back in the day you actually had the timesheet that did the and then, you know, shot the paper back up. And that was extra fun. I would watch it. I'd watch it in slow motion in my mind. I'd be like, yep, zip, zip, and zip, zip. And look at you. Look at you marked and ready to go. I'm out of here. I'm leaving forever, just tonight, but forever. And then, admittedly, I did have jobs that I really loved. I really enjoyed clocking in and having a great time with my coworkers, and I enjoyed the job that I was doing. And even if it was like something to do with the public, you have your jerks once in a while, but for the most part, it was phenomenal. And I got great experiences out of it, and I'd clock out, I'd go home, I'd start again the next day. And then I had jobs where I was like, oh, okay. I don't want anybody to hate their life, but they're gonna know I hate mine. And there's something in the spirit of an hourly worker that's in the middle of doing their job that's like, oh, don't do what I do. That is what I heard at that hearing. Don't, no, guys, don't follow my advice. I don't know. I be saying stuff. No. Oh, it's tough because it's hard to know that everyone has different levels of access and different levels of knowledge on how to keep ourselves healthy. And when you have things getting rolled back, like EPA regulations, FDA regulations, when you have people looking out less and less for the quality of drinking water, when you have people looking out less and less for what the next potential virus might be, you get yourself into some real trouble. And then they kick it back to us. They kick it back to us every time. They roll that thing back. They fire those people. Those people who, I'm not going to say every single person loved their job, but they roll things back to the point where now more people have more burden on them and less support to try to get us to where we need to be, at least on a basic level of health. And they're like, but it's up to you. You know, Dr. Oz came on and he was like, the best way to be healthy is to be healthy. And I was like, oh, do you have financial advice too? Because that's incredibly solid right there. The best way to not need these services is to not need these services. And it's like, okay, but you got to remember, you're dealing with people who have they have varying levels of knowledge around what is and isn't healthy. My hometown has a bit of a meth problem. And a real conversation that I overheard at a bus stop was, they getting on to me and on to me and on to me because I'm smoking meth. But it's not like it's crystal meth. And not only me as a bystander, but the person they were talking to seemed to also be on meth. Said, what do you mean it's not crystal meth? And he goes, it's regular meth. And so then the other person on meth was like, no, it's all meth. Crystal's not the deluxe. It's not like Crystal Pepsi, you know what I mean? It's all generally meth. There's not a diet meth. Meth is the diet meth. I haven't eaten in some time. Because we are a huge country. And it's when you travel, you realize how big this country really is. And it's a lot of people to try to keep healthy, try to make healthy, you know? And so you want people of the absolute highest caliber, knowledge and character to be in positions that affect your health. And I just don't think RFK Jr. is that, you know? And there's all these things. There's plenty of things that you can watch and plenty of breakdowns people have done on his ideas and his theories about health and everything, and the things that he says that fall into the lane of conspiracy, and the things that he says that fall into the lane of like homeopathic cures and stuff. And I'm just saying there's a certain way that you talk about people that lets me know what you think about people, how you feel about people, right? And while maybe from his perspective seeming compassionate or seeming understanding, the way I've heard him talk about people, especially people with autism, but people with any sort of different ability or way of life and talk about it in terms that just seem so like stark and dismissive of the individual themselves in these broad brushstrokes, and then try to later come back and be like, oh, I was only talking about a quarter of, you know, as if that's better. No. It makes me feel like this is not the individual that should be in that position. And that's not just because he swims in sewage. It's because, like, actual sewage is spilling out of his mouth every time he talks. But yeah, maybe he can get the food additives out. I don't know. Like, that's... That's just, I don't know. That's what's so frustrating to me about RFK Jr. It's like half of what people applaud him for even saying we should do or that he's trying to do is just a bunch of stuff Michelle Obama was trying to do. Like, remember when Michelle Obama was like, how about a carrot? You remember that? Remember when Michelle Obama was like, just try an apple. And people were like, why do you hate America? No, it's super frustrating. You know, I get frustrated all the time. I can't imagine if you are, a parent of a child with autism and you're listening to RFK Jr. talk, or if you're someone who's an actual health specialist and you're listening to RFK Jr. talk, or if you are the person who, in my opinion, deserves to be the angriest, Michelle Obama, listening to RFK Jr. talk. You know, she probably is pointing at the TV doing the DiCaprio meme. Like, that's what I... I just want you to try an apple. You know, that's my thing. That's really where we screwed up, you know? We do all this stuff when it comes to healthcare to make it inaccessible, right? So there's all these things that you have these premiums, you have these deductibles, you have all these different things that we understand are to keep us away from the healthcare. But then when it comes to the vaccines, when it comes to, you know, the treatments, I think we're too eager to give it to people. We should actually hold it back and make it seem like, I don't know. I don't know, it's all the way over here. Do you really want to come over here and get it? Like, I don't know. No, because I had a conversation with a friend that enlightened me a little bit in kind of that route of thinking. He was a new parent, and he was like, look, I'm not a doctor. I recognize that I don't know the science or anything, but I'm seeing all this stuff on social and on TV about like giving my kids vaccines, but I'm also talking to my doctor who's telling me to give my kids vaccines, and he's like, I don't know what to do, and I'm really scared about what I should do, right? And I was like, okay, like I hear what you're saying. And then he said, I just feel horrible if I gave my kid something and it made them sick or sicker. And I was like, okay, I understand what you're saying. And then I asked him, I was like, let's just go back in time for a second and just pretend that the vaccine that the doctor's trying to give you just doesn't even exist. And your kid was sick. Would you want it then? Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that as some sort of got you. I'm saying that when we're sick, we go to the hospital. When you're sick or someone you love is sick, you want a doctor immediately. All this, like just asking questions, going back and forth, trying to dunk on doctors, trying to dunk on experts, it's always done from a place of like actually being okay right now. When you're actually in a hospital bed, you're like, do whatever. I'm coughing up blood. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that to say that I don't have empathy for people who have questions or people who are unsure, people who are scared. That's where I think a lot of like humanity gets lost in the conversation. When some people are just like, I don't know what to do. I'm genuinely afraid of what I should do next because there's all this stuff out here. Just like with the food, just like with the treatments. There, for everything, there's a thing for it and against it. And it depends on when it comes up in your feed. It depends on how you search. It depends on how you type it into ChatGPT. And so it's hard to know, to really know, right? And so I try to not just have patience, but have empathy for people who are genuinely unsure. But you saw it. You saw it in COVID. People were yelling to the rooftops, I'm not wearing a mask, I'm not doing this. I'm like, that's, look, live your life. But then at the third cough, they did go to the people who told them to do all that stuff. And I'm just saying, like, I don't know, if you trust them now, you trust them when it's bad, why not trust them a little early? You know what I mean? And I just want to make it clear, like, my big gripe with RFK Jr. is that he doesn't have these debates and he doesn't have these knockdown, drag out fights and arguments about the science and about where he's coming from and how he has his logic and how he came to these conclusions with experts who are well versed in the science and in the medicine. It's always done in like a podcasty type of way. And I just, now that people's real lives are at stake, I just think that's unacceptable. Like, I don't know how we're so willing to give this much, like, I know we're not, but just, I don't know, when you look back and you compare it as a country, Michelle Obama was just like, just eat the apple, like, it'll help. Knock it.